Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another edition of the Apache Cassandra Corner podcast. Today, I have Val Karpov with me. Val, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Aaron. Great to be here.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So people probably know me most as the maintainer of Mongoose. Mongoose is the most downloaded database framework for Node.js, primarily for MongoDB, but we are working on Cassandra support via a project called Stargate Mongoose. So it's very exciting time.
Yeah, I'd say
I'm also the founder and CEO of my own small dev shop called Beanit Software. We do we do Node.js based application development, Venom stack for buzzwords.
So the Venom stack, I have to admit, you know, being a kind of a backend developer, I don't really know what each of those parts are. If you could kind of explain Venom.
Vue.js front end framework, Express.js for back end web, Node.js runtime, MongoDB database.
Oh, okay. Oh, excellent. I mean, see, you learn something new every day, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you recently spoke at Cassandra Forward, which was, I think, a great virtual event. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you spoke about there?
Yeah, my Cassandra Forward talk was basically just introducing Stargate Mongoose and the work that we've been doing to try to add support for Cassandra to Mongoose, make it possible for you to read and write from a Cassandra database using Mongoose code with basically no changes.
Wow, so basically no changes. So that pretty much means that, you know, you're changing your connection credentials, and then it's kind of like
your connection credentials. There's a separate set driver call. For probably about a decade at this point, Mongoose has had this notion of a driver API that has been pretty much unused, but it provides the ability to basically stub out the code that talks to MongoDB. And anything that provides a facsimile of that AI or of that API, sorry, my brain is in AI land. Anything that provides like something that's compatible with that API, Mongoose can use to communicate. So like one thing we've been working on was an in-memory driver, which basically just was a way to run Mongoose in the browser without needing to actually connect to a database at all and just have it store data in memory.
Oh, wow.
Recently we've started working on a driver on Stargate Mongoose, which is a driver that plugs into Mongoose via the set driver function and basically replaces the API that that Mongoose uses to talk to MongoDB, replaces that with something that talks to the Stargate JSON API, which is kind of like a HTTP, effectively like a proxy in front of Cassandra that kind of translates I don't know the particulars of the Stargate JSON API that well, but basically takes an HTTP request, translates stuff into SQL queries, lets you read stuff back.
Oh, excellent. So just in looking around on Stack Overflow, actually, I happen to see that Mongoose has like, I think like 46,000 questions asked about it on Stack Overflow. I don't know if you get out there much, but
no, not surprising. I mean, there's a lot of questions on Stack Overflow and a lot of them about Mongoose. I mean, Mongoose is a very commonly used package. I mean, it's been around for a very, very long time. I mean, let's see, Mongoose was first, like the first commit to the Mongoose repo, I want to say, was at the very was in 2010, if memory serves. Okay. So I mean, like when Mongoose first came out, Node.js was barely a year old.
Right.
So, Mongoose and Node have kind of grown together over the years.
Right. Well, you know, if you think about it, you know, 2010, I mean, Mongo really wasn't that old either at the time. I'm trying to remember when Mongo came out. I want to say it was like 2008, and maybe it was a little earlier than that, but it didn't really hit mainstream until, you know, like right around that same time, like 2009, 2010, all of a sudden everyone was like, whoa, Mongo, you know, is it kind of stormed onto the scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if memory serves, the very first commits to the MongoDB repo were, I want to say, like December 2007 or 2006.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at one point I like went through the entire MongoDB commit history and found the first commit. Oh boy, that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one thing that that folks will mention to me a lot, you know, especially developer folks, you know, they're, you know, about maybe why they chose, you know, like MongoDB for a project as its backend, is that it's so easy to get started with. It's so easy to just like, hey, turn it on and then start coding. And, you know, you can just kind of go like that. And, you know, for me, for someone who's kind of been in the Cassandra community since those early days as well, I think that's really exciting. You know, I think it's exciting to have that same like ease of startup, ease of, you know, getting going with it, with Cassandra and well, AstroDB as we, you know, as we do with Mongo. And I just, yeah. I think that's amazing of, that, you know, of how Mongoose can really open up, you know, using, you know, Cassandra to a whole bunch of other, a whole new slew of developers who wouldn't have considered it before.
Yeah, and I think for the existing Cassandra developers, I think what's really exciting is like Mongoose can become like an effective bridge for people who work with Cassandra to the full suite of tools available to modern JavaScript developers. Mm-hmm. So like one of the sample app that we presented at Cassandra Forward, which is forked off of actually Mongoose's sample app. So that kind of shows you how few changes you have to make.
Right.
It's how to put it, like, so it doesn't use Astra yet, but on the other hand, it's built using Netlify. So you can deploy it onto Netlify. Like you can deploy the front end onto Netlify and the back end is serverless with Netlify functions. So like point and click in the UI a few times and you can deploy that and you can set up CI/CD to deploy that to production. So that's a very exciting improvement there. Serverless functions as well, probably a very neat application for Cassandra, given, you know, Cassandra is often used for, shall we say, a very, very high write volume, very, very high scale, very performance intensive applications.
Oh, right. Right. So Val, you know, if I wanted to go and get started with Mongoose, is there a good tutorial out there that you recommend, or what's a recommended way to go about that?
I say go Google Mongoose tutorial. I don't have a recommended Mongoose tutorial right now because honestly, I've given up keeping up with all the Mongoose tutorials that are coming out. There are a lot, so
there isn't
really like one that I would say that really sticks out in my mind as like the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Because well, people keep coming out with new ones, so like you end up Googling like, you know, how to work with Mongoose with, you know, insert framework X. I'm sure you'll find like probably a dozen tutorials written in the last year about how to do just that.
Wow. Yeah. Now, you know, Mongoose has quite a bit of downloads. What's the count up to on GitHub? I thought I remembered you mentioning this before.
Oh, so apparently used by 2.8 million repos on GitHub. I would prefix that with, you know, a lot of them are just people tinkering, getting started.
Oh, sure.
I would imagine an awful lot of them are just like people cloned a starter app, did a couple quick tweaks with it, and then just moved on to something else. But it's still a very impressive number.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, any time you're getting into you know, like a couple million of anything, I think that's pretty substantial. Yeah. for sure.
Yeah. I mean, these like high level numbers are like, they're exciting. They don't necessarily translate into like that much, or they don't really do a good job of capturing like the active usage, but but they're nice to look at.
Yeah.
And they go to show you kind of like, okay, there are a lot of active repos that are using Mongoose. A lot of the 2.8 million are kind of dead repos, but there's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah. So before, you know, kind of working with adapting Mongoose to work with, you know, the Stargate API with, you know, Cassandra and Astra, had you done much work with Cassandra before that?
Honestly, not beyond like a Hello World type work.
Okay. Okay.
I had experimented with it because, again, Cassandra has a pretty excellent reputation as kind of like a very robust database for high scale applications. I don't think anyone would ever say that Cassandra is like a toy database that nobody should ever use. So at least if they do, I have never heard that. So
okay. So you know, kind of going from that, when you're working with trying to build out, you know, Mongoose that it runs with Cassandra and kind of works on that same like document data model paradigm, what would you say was one of the more challenging things that you had to do to get that to work?
That's a good question. So a lot of the coding work was done by the DataStax team. They're great. Some of the more complex things that we had to do. Well, first of all, personally for me, getting started with running Java is always fun. I haven't worked with Java in like probably a decade plus.
Oh, so wow.
It's been a while. Very rusty on that front. But in terms of like things that we kind of needed to build that are kind of tricky. Sorting was a big one.
Oh, sure.
I think that was kind of one of those like big blockers that kind of was like, you know, complex and difficult for Cassandra to support, but also kind of like Mongoose developers have come to expect that. Right. Mongoose developers don't sort in memory. That's not something that is commonly done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was one where it was pretty complex. And I think what we've kind of come up with for now is that the Stargate JSON API is going to kind of like implement sort itself. The JSON API will do some basic sorting up to a certain size in the results set, right. And it can handle like managing memory and making sure that you don't run over or you don't get out of memory exceptions.
No, that's good. That's good, because I was thinking about that too. It's like, oh yeah, I mean, it's like essentially that would be implementing like an application level type of sorting layer. You know, once you've pulled it out of Cassandra or Astra, and I was even thinking to myself just now, I'm like, wow, how would I do that? Well, okay, you'd have to, yeah, right. And then I'm like, yeah, but that could get big fast. So yeah, I can kind of see your point about, you know, having to put some guardrails around that. Like, well, we'll let you sort on result sets, but only up to a certain size or a certain limit, because yeah, you're right. Memory is certainly not an infinite resource by any means. There, right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's not unprecedented. I mean, so without an index, MongoDB sort will error out after a certain size of the result set. I think it's limited to 2 gigs.
Okay.
Last I checked, but I don't know. It's something generous, but still, you can't sort infinitely large data sets without an index in MongoDB.
Right. And, I mean, 2 gigabytes. That sounds. You know, when you're dealing with, you know, text data coming back, that seems like it should be enough. But I mean, yeah, you're right. You never know.
You never know. I mean, plenty of large data sets that you can put in there.
No, for sure. All right, Val. So, you know, kind of as we wrap things up here, just I'd like to ask if just kind of considering as Mongoose moves more and more towards, you know, being database agnostic, you know, if you will, like that, what is one thing you would say to someone who's a Cassandra, you know, developer, Cassandra user, what's one thing that you would say to as to trying to get them to say, hey, you should check out Mongoose because of this?
I'd say number one thing. I mean, you can now be a full stack Cassandra developer, which is something that you could do before, but with Mongoose, again, it's never been easier. So I personally develop with my team of two. We work on 5 or 6 different full stack applications at any given time. And those are, reasonably sophisticated applications. So I would like to, so as a Cassandra developer, and you can expand your reach into kind of building, oh, okay, now I can, now you can ship like full stack JavaScript applications backed by Cassandra.
Sure.
Which is pretty exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Do you know when, the version of Mongoose that'll work with, Cassandra and Astra will be available? Do you have any insight to that?
So, right now we have a proof of concept out there that you can try out. It's not production ready, but on the other hand, we have sample apps that run on, that use Stargate Mongoose to talk to Cassandra. Sure. So like you can get started today if you really want to. Again, we wouldn't advise running it in production, and it only supports, you have to run Stargate JSON API locally. It's not up in Astra yet. So if you're going to run it, you have to run it yourself. But it's easy enough to get started because we have like a Docker Compose container for starting up like the full stack in terms of like setting up Cassandra, setting up all the Stargate dependencies, setting up the Stargate JSON API. All you do is point a node project to it and you're ready to try it out.
Yeah. And then it's just like a Docker run from there and you're good to go, huh?
Once you start the Stargate Docker Compose, then you would run like an npm start command, and that runs a node script. So Docker is not that common in the Node.js community for running node applications, just because node is a standalone binary. You don't really have to compile anything, so you typically just ship, okay, here, download this version of node, here's a bunch of scripts, just run it, node dot, easy. So no need to installing dependencies and compiling is not much of a problem in the node community right now. Docker isn't, we don't use Docker for that. We feel like it's more idiomatic for the node community, but I could be wrong. So
that makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Val, thank you very much. This has been really great. Just thank you, for taking the time and coming on the show today. And I mean, really, this is an exciting change for the Cassandra community. I'm pretty excited to go and try this thing out.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited as well. Thanks for having me, Aaron. And try out Stargate Mongoose. I'm sure you'll have a. I'll try it out, see if you have a great experience, and if you don't, open up an issue on GitHub, and we'll try to fix it for you.
All right. Hey, thank you, Val, and everyone else. Hey, have a great day. We'll talk to you later. And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.